I want to speak to you on the kaleidoscope of prayer, and this will be the first part, and I don't know how many parts it'll be. We just kind of go with the flow. Amen. Prayer is such a fascinating subject, and it's a lot of times it's one-dimensional, but it's multidimensional, and that's why I've titled my part of the prayer teachings called the kaleidoscope of prayer. Now, I want us to read Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Would you stand with me? Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And if you're there, say amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody read it out loud with me. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. Say that starting with the word Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. That's good. Lord, teach us to pray. A great preacher of yesterday said, and I heard this, actually T.L. Byrd actually quoted this from another preacher, but I heard it when he preached it. He said, there are times we need to pray about our praying. And so, Father, tonight, help us to pray about our praying. Help us to see the kaleidoscope, the many avenues. Lord, I pray that as the disciples prayed, Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to enroll once again in the school of prayer. Lord, where there are no graduates, for Father, for all eternity, we'll be learning the secret of prayer. And Father, thank you for Skylar and Julie. I pray, Lord, a special blessing upon them tonight. God, that you would just anoint them and finish that work that you began in them. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. So good to see you. Amen. The kaleidoscope of prayer. Now, first thing we got to ask, what is a kaleidoscope? Does anybody know what a kaleidoscope is? Raise your hand if you do. Raise your hand if you don't know what a kaleidoscope is. Well, if you'll look on the screen back here, you see those multicolors. So it's a multicolored display with many shades and hues. There used to be a toy back when in the 70s when I was growing up. And you would put your eye through this little long tube and you would turn it, and all of these different shades of color and reds, and it looks a lot like what you see on the screen. Of course, the screen won't ever do it justice because you actually held it up to the light, and it just had, it's a toy consisting of a tube containing mirrors and pieces of colored glass or paper whose reflections produce changing patterns that are visible through an eye hole when the tube is rotated. And so, like a kaleidoscope, there are many shades, many nuances, many approaches, and many ways when it comes to prayer. I feel like in my life, and in too many times in so many Christians' lives, that prayer is one-dimensional. It's just one thing. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Or maybe even more mature believers will say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and then say, oh, God, do this, and oh, God, do that. And that's a really two-dimensional, I guess you could say, is the average prayer life. And so I want you to know that there are a lot of ways to pray. Prayer is a kaleidoscope. There are so many different angles, so many different avenues, so many different ways and joys and discoveries and approaches that you can take when it comes to prayer. And I don't know about you, but I want to pray about my praying. I want to be not a great preacher, not a great person. I want to be a great prayer person. Amen. A great person of prayer. And because really there is nothing that cannot be resolved or solved apart from prayer. I don't care where you are at this minute in your life. There is one thing. I can't change COVID-19. I can't change the economy. I have a hard time changing the waistline. I can't change the weather. I can't change other people. I can't even change my own family and loved ones. But there's one thing I can do. I can pray. And when I pray, God steps in and he does the change. And most of the time, it's in me. Can I get a witness out there? And so there is nothing, absolutely nothing that we face, that we encounter. I don't care how shattered your life is. I don't care how broken you are or where you are. Prayer is the turning point. Prayer will make all the difference. And the more you pray and the more ways that you pray will deepen your life and broaden your horizon, and you will see amazing things. Truly, the prophet said, call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And oh Lord, help us to pray like never before, and we'll see things like never before. And then some people think of prayer on the extreme. They think they really haven't prayed unless they prayed 5 hours every day. Now, somewhere in there, there's victory in prayer, no matter the time length. And I want to talk to you about the kaleidoscope of prayer, the angles to prayer. Now, Brother James is going to hand you a sheet of paper. And my thoughts really began back in the 80s when I was a teenager. And he's going to hand you a sheet of paper here, and I want you to look at that. But in the 1980s, Pastor Alan Byerly of the Westmount Emmanuel Holiness Church taught a series on Wednesday night. Now you got to understand, back in the 80s, churches had church on Wednesday night, had choirs, and they had fiery preaching. But my pastor taught on Wednesday nights. It was very radical, and he was really ahead of the times. And so now we do teaching on Wednesday night. And so I'll never forget that he taught on a book called The Hour That Changes the World, a book written by Dick Eastman. Just curious, anybody ever read or ever heard of that book? Pastor and First Lady, have anybody else read or heard of the book? One more has. The Hour That Changes the World. So the philosophy behind this book was that he was encouraging Christians to pray, if they could and as often as they could, 1 hour every single day. Now, right off the top of your head, you're thinking, man, an hour every day. I don't hardly have an hour to stand still. I mean, my days are packed and full. And we're talking about praying an hour every day. And he talked about the scripture where Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? How many of you remember that scripture? I don't have the reference, but it's in the Garden of Gethsemane when they were at a crucial moment. Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? And so what the book was about, the book, The Hour That Changes the World, Dick Eastman, you can still buy it. I encourage you to get it. I'm going to reread it as I'm preaching through this again. But he said you can break the hour down into 5-minute segments. And he talked about the first 5 minutes on your sheet, just do praise and worship for 5 minutes. Then the next 5 minutes, wait upon the Lord. The next would be confession of sin and guilt. The next would be praying scripture. The next would be watching or intercession, and then petitions, and then thanksgiving, and then singing, and then meditation, and then listening, and then end up by praising the Lord again. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not telling you, and I'm not going to instruct you to pray exactly like Dick Eastman's laid out here in the sheet before you. But I want, that sparked something in my life. That was a life lesson, that my prayer doesn't have to be, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help somebody else, and I praise you, and I'll see you later. My prayer took on a new dimension, because there are aspects to prayer that we don't think is prayer that really is prayer. And so, and I change his, and I'm going to tell you throughout this, somehow I'll tell you, I pray, literally according to the Lord's Prayer. Now he has, for example, confession of sin in number 3. Well, I used to do that. The first thing I'd start doing when I would start praying, the first thing I'd do was say, oh, God, forgive me. I got upset. I didn't do right. Lord, I'm so full of failure. And, oh, God, by your mercies, please forgive me. Now, that's how I used to start out my prayers, until I got to reading the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer starts out with what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this gift. Somebody say, give us this day our daily bread. And then what? Okay, stop right there. Forgiveness is number 8. So I was starting out with, oh, how wretched I was, how sinful I was, how short I fall. And, you know, the devil, he just joins in on that prayer, you know, and he just throws a little log on the fire. He said, oh, did you remember that, Ricky? You know, and so before I even get my prayer off of the runway, I'm already defeated, deflated, and dejected, and unworthy. And I want to crawl back into some dark hole somewhere and cover my, my wife, she gets so mad. I love an electric blanket. I don't care if it's 100 degrees outside. When it's time to go to bed, I want my feet warm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now, if you raise the windows, I wouldn't do it. Now, you know, back when I was at East Carolina and I didn't have air conditioning, I would have never done it. But I just, you know, and so when I would pray that kind of prayer, you know, normally, well, think of it. You see, the Lord's Prayer starts out with what? Our Father. You don't need to start out praying talking about you. You don't need to start out praying talking about President Trump, although I do. You don't need to start out by talking about your arthritis. You don't need to start talking about your neighbor's need. Start your prayers out with God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. And so the first few minutes of prayer, just start saying, God, you are an awesome God. You are a powerful God. And you may feel very, very condemned because maybe you said something wrong, or maybe you may even feel like, I'm not even worthy to do this. But that's all from the enemy. God knows what he's doing. He knows your heart. And down there, you can take care of the forgiveness. But start out by praising, blessing, and magnify the Lord with me. I said magnify the Lord. That means diminish others. Magnify him. And brother, your prayers will be set on fire. And you'll know, and you'll feel his grace and his love. And by the time you get to forgiveness, you'll be like, Lord, forgive me. And he's going to be like, I already have. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Amen. Look at the wheel here. Start out by praise and worship. Now, I'm not going to go through. Now, my prayers don't follow this pattern. I just said that. But I do want to go through this tonight and kind of give you, whet your appetite a little bit. Praise and worship. Part two here, he's got waiting upon the Lord. In the book, he talks about that waiting. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so part of your prayer can be just simply waiting. In fact, there are three parts to this prayer where you're listening or still are waiting upon the Lord. Part two, waiting upon the Lord. Part five is watching. Part 10 and part 11 is contemplation, meditation, and listening. Now, I don't go through all of that, but I just want you to see that your prayer doesn't always have to be verbal. Your prayer doesn't always have to be you talking. There are very powerful times in prayer when you're still. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes you don't feel like you're praying if you're just sitting there. And if you say, this is my prayer time, and I'm just going to sit here and be still before the Lord. Now, just keep the Lord in your minds. Guess what you're doing? You're praying whether or not you're asking for something. We get in our mind that we're only praying when we're asking for something, or we're only praying when we praise God for something. My friend, you'll see that this is a kaleidoscope, and so some of your prayers will be waiting upon the Lord. And then he mentions confession of sin. Now, when in the confession of sin, there are two aspects to this. When I pray, I do need to do some house cleaning. I need to make sure, because there are some people that think they can sleep with other people and get on their knees and say, oh, God, help me, or if you ask them, they're sleeping around, shacking up, not paying their tithes, living like the world, and then they dare you to say anything to them. They get highly offended, and then you ask them, well, how's your spiritual life? Oh, I pray. Honey, you ain't prayed. You think you've prayed. Your prayers ain't hitting the ceiling because you are in open rebellious sin. I'm glad this is a friendly audience tonight. How do you think you can have sexual relationships with people? How do you think you can tell dirty jokes? How do you think you can use curse words? How do you think that you can have unforgiveness and you won't speak to somebody in the fellowship hall because they didn't come to your Sunday school picnic last year? I mean, Christians can have sin too. Can I get a witness out there? And it's more sanctified, but it's also more cranktified, but it's sin. And we need to quit looking looking at the homosexual and start putting a mirror up. And during this time of confession is a good time to say, Lord, examine my heart. See if there be anything wrong in me and make it right, Lord. And Lord, reveal to me my secret sins. There are sins that sometimes we commit as Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about us, names written in glory. There are times when we may do a wrong and not be aware of it. And this is why in the Lord's Prayer every day, you're to say, Lord, forgive me. Well, bless God, he forgave me 28 years ago, and I'm saved, sanctified, and on my way to heaven. Well, you just need to say, just in case, Lord, if there is anything, please forgive me. If we didn't need to pray for forgiveness daily, then he wouldn't have put it in the Lord's Prayer. Amen? Every single day, I just simply say, to keep the house clean, to keep the spirit right, I say, Lord, forgive me. Show me. Please, Lord, I want to please you. I don't want to displease you. I love that scripture that says we do things well-pleasing in his sight. Oh, my friend, when I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want him to be pleased with my love and my adoration. And I can't pray and seek him and come to church and lead and worship and then turn around and do things that are not pleasing to him. I want my whole life. And so I confess my sin. And guess what? That is something. Christians do struggle with sin. Confess that sin. If you sin, for example, if you're struggling with alcohol and you break down and you drink, what is the answer? Pray and confess and repent and ask God to help you not do it. Now, what you don't need to do is drink the liquor and then pray and, well, God understands, you know, he knows I'm weak. No, you're loving your sin is what it is. Because if you really have a heart to please him, you're going to say, God, I fail. I feel terrible. And in fact, that's a lot of times people stop praying. They stop praying. They're like, how can I talk to God? He knows that I'm hooked on some habit, or I have some recurring sin, or I have some anger issue, or you know, I've learned a lot being in the secular workforce. I haven't been in the secular workforce in 25 years. I was at you know, when I was in college and before I began to pastor, I worked full time at my first church, the very first church I pastored. I worked full time there for Lance, but I hadn't been in the workforce, you know, in 20 years. So now that I've been a pastor 20 years and back in the workforce, and things will just hit me wrong. I mean, a customer will just get me on the wrong side. And I'm like, I'll stop and I'm like, Ricky, you're supposed to be sanctified. You're really big on holiness. You remember that? You know, you're really big on the second definite. You remember when you stood before the conference and said, we need to do this? Well, what about it now? I don't know if y'all struggle with stuff like this. I do. Bless the Lord. I do. I just say, Lord. And then some manager will get crazy. Have you ever had a manager go crazy on you? And I'm like, oh my Lord, what in the world? So every now and then I'll kind of get out of sorts a little bit, and I just have to pull myself together, and I say, Lord, forgive me, because what I want to do, I'm not worried. I've asked the Lord, please don't let me be concerned about being right. Let me be concerned about winning souls. Do you know you're a Christian witness when you take a lot of junk sometimes? Do you know when you're put upon and things aren't, and you somebody don't show up and you step in and help them when they don't deserve to be helped because they didn't help you? When you do things like that, I'm going to tell you, the world looks at that. And you know where we're going to win the world to the Lord? I wish it would be in the packed church houses. I wish it would be over the live stream services. Let me tell you what's going to win the world is when we live like Jesus in the places where God has put us. And the only way to really do that is to have that prayer life before the Lord. Can I get a witness? And not only confession of personal sin, but I'm going to just lightly touch on this. In the book, he talks about confessing national sins and other sins. And you say, what? How can I confess somebody else's sins? You can in a generic sense. For example, Daniel, when he prayed, he said, Lord, Israel, talking about the nation Israel, we have sinned. We have forgotten you. Forgive our sins. And I pray that I say, Lord, forgive America. Forgive us. of our sins. Now, I have not done those sins, those national sins, but I am an American, and we are one for all and all for one, whether they believe it or not. And so it's biblical to pray and confess the sin. And Lord, I pray for our family. Sometimes my family has done things. My family was not churched, and they would get in arguments and sometimes even fist fights. And I'd say, Lord, forgive my family. Forgive me. Forgive us all. So confess sins doesn't mean that you have committed the sin, but it means that you are confessing that, because God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap, somebody that would make up the hedge. God is pleased when we stand up for people, stand up for sinners, stand up for wrongdoers, and say, God, have mercy upon them. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's a kaleidoscope of prayer, is when we confess. I think it's good for Franklin Graham, like he did back in 2016 on all the state capitals. I'm telling you, that's what changed the election. Those 50 state prayer meetings, and Christians flocked and they lifted up their voice to God. And one of the first things Franklin Graham did was said, God, forgive us. And praise God, the Lord came through and turned things into our favor. And we need it to happen again. I said, we need to happen again. The first thing that Joe Biden will do as president, and if Chuck Schumer gets the Senate, and if Nancy Pelosi has already got the House, the first thing he said he'll do on Inauguration Day is sign the Equality Act into law. The Equality Act basically says preachers that preach against homosexuality are going to be shut down. You think COVID has messed us up? You better wait until they begin to realize that we're preaching the truth. And some people, the gays and the homosexuals, are going to say that we hate them. It's called that we're doing hate speech. There is no hate speech coming from the church. If there's any gay person who needs help financially, if I can help them, I will. If there's any gay person that needs a friend, I've got gay friends. I've got gay family. I treat them just like family. I treat my gay family and their partner like family. Now, I don't approve of it, and I've told them that, but because God's got a better plan for their life. But I'm going to show them love that is not hate, but I will tell the truth. And if they sign that Equality Act, brother and sister, we are in for warfare like you've never believed. Say, what are you talking about politics? I'm not talking about politics. As Pastor Jerry wonderfully said, we are watchmen on the wall. Quit intimidating me on Facebook by telling me, well, we better be open-minded. Some people are so open-minded, their brains have fell out. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to quit clicking and pointing on Facebook and get on our knees again and say, God, forgive us and help us to vote the right way. But people talking about, I'm telling you, I'm getting stirred now, folks, it's coming. But people talking about, well, it don't matter, who's going to win the presidency. I want you to ask Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died at the hands of Adolf Hitler. He was a great man of God and a theologian that did everything in his power to rise up the church during Nazi Germany, and they shot him dead, and Germany's never had a revival since that time. Yeah, they've recovered economically, and they've recovered in politically, but they have never recovered spiritually from Adolf Hitler, an elected politician. Von Hindenburg, the aging president of Germany, said, well, we're going to give Hitler to be the chancellor of Germany, and all of his thugs out there rioting in peaceful protests, and they weren't. They were breaking glasses. If we give Hitler and some of his people a position in the government, then they'll be quiet down and we'll be able to sit at the table with them. Honey, they weren't there to sit at the table. They were there to throw the table over and take over, and 6 million Jews got killed. Don't tell me it matters who you vote for. Brother, you are blind if you don't realize that on election day, you must go to that election booth and you must press for the right candidate, and so help you God. They just cut us off on Facebook. Amen. Probably. That's another thing. They're going to quit. Facebook's going to quit. Twitter's going to quit. You're going to get to the place where if you want cable TV, well, we're not going to serve those customers who are hate customers, who don't believe certain things. So you won't get cable internet. Slowly but surely, it's going to work to that mark of the beast. We are seeing it before our eyes. Now, I want to say something else before I move on here. If Joe Biden wins and if Chuck Schumer has it, then God will still be God. And I'm going to still serve the Lord. And we're going to pay a dear price, but we need to pray. Amen. We need to be in touch with God. And there is something called the wheat and the tares. There are people that look like Christians, act like Christians, talk like Christians, but down inside, they're really not born again. They don't really know the Lord. And then we'll know the truth from error. Then look at number four, pray in Scripture. You see, he talks about part of your prayer time as praying Scripture. Have you ever thought about just praying the Scriptures? Just this little God's promises for your every need. I was going through my Aunt Lola Clack. I got several of her papers, several of her books in her house. She was a great woman of God. And I ran across this and going through it, and it was given to her on December 25th, 1998 from Sister Edna Riles. Edna Riles was a great saint in our church. And but this has just got nothing but Scriptures. And sometimes when I'm praying, I'll just pull out and I'll just read Scriptures. I'll just pray the Scriptures. Lord, I thank you that, for as we having many members in one body, or all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a member of the body of Christ. See, I just prayed that Scripture. Amen. Sometimes just open your Bible up. Don't you highlight your Bible and just pray some of those highlights. There's a reason you highlighted it. God prompted you to do it for maybe a later time. And so people think, well, prayer is just me asking or me praising. No, prayer can be just take 5 or 10 minutes and just quote Scripture. Because really, you're talking to God what He's already talked to you. Amen. So pray the Scripture. Watching. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Or intercession. Number six, intercession. That's a part of prayer. Do you know what intercession is? Intercession is praying for other people. Now, some people spend about 25 minutes praying for them and about 3 minutes praying for others. You know how I know that? Because I've done it before. So intercession. Do you pray for your loved ones? Do you have family that are not saved? Children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, moms, dads? Then you ought to be interceding for them. That's a form of prayer. In fact, if Samuel said, and I don't have the scripture there, Sister Darnell, but Samuel said something very powerful. When the children of Israel were trying to choose a king and blah, 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 they were having all kinds of issues. And they knew they were in trouble. And a great storm came up. And God did a theatrical show to let them know He was not happy with them. And because of their hard heart and them wanting to choose their own king and not really follow the Lord. But God said, I'm gonna give them a king. And the people got terrified. They were more afraid of thunder and lightning than of God Almighty. And we should fear the Lord more than we fear any adverse effects here in this world. Because He has the power to kill both body and soul in hell. And so Samuel, and the people said, Samuel, pray for us, that the Lord doesn't kill us all, basically is what they were saying. And you know what Samuel said, and I wish I did have the passage, but Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I wish I did have that scripture. Maybe Darnell can find it. She's very smart there. She got that smartphone going, blah, 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 blah. Or pastor can find it. But God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. Wow. You mean I can sin against the Lord by not praying for others? I'm not going to answer that question, but that certainly raises a good thought. Because if you really are pleasing to the Lord, if you really want to serve Him and touch His heart, then pray for other people. Intercede. I pray for President Donald J. Trump as if he were my friend. I say this. I say, Lord, if the prayers of one nation, there it is, 1 Samuel 12 and 23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. I say, Lord, if the prayers of one nation can depend on one person, hear my prayer, Lord, and give our president 4 more years. Give our president 54 seats in the Republican Senate. Give him 54 votes, because with 54 votes, we can put judges on all the courts throughout this land and we'll change and halt this Equality Act and all of that. And we'll have a space to do more great things. And by the way, if God answers our prayer and he gives us these leaders and we turn around back to our lukewarm ways, then brother and sister, I can't tell you what's going to happen down the road. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So I intercede for Donald Trump. I intercede for Pastor Jerry and First Lady Teresa. They are the pastors of our church, and pastors go through spiritual warfare. Now, Pastor Jerry does a lot of shouting and dancing, and we honor that and praise God for that. But don't let that mistake you, because there are battles that he faces that you might not ever see. You see, he shouts despite the battles. He's not going to come to church and show you with his face and shoulders drooped down, but you don't know what kind of hell he faced. This is something me and him know about, but sometimes you can get a phone call late at night with somebody upset. So sometime right before the service, you know. So that's why we intercede for the pastors, because that pastor has to preach the word of God. And so intercession is a part of prayer. And I'm going to talk to you about that. It's a fun thing to intercede. And I look at my sister, Jennifer, and Lord, forgive me, because I don't want to in any way inflate Ricky Nims, because I'm telling you, I'm just trusting my Lord. But my sister, Jennifer, I remember I could not take her to church because I moved to East Carolina and God sent me to be with Brother Byrd. And my mother at the time I knew nobody would take her to church. My Aunt Gert would come by and get her. But that's not the same as me doing. And I said, Lord, what about my sister? What about my sister? And because the most important thing is for her to know the Lord. And she got into those older teens. She started going down those paths. And so many in our family, and I got to be real careful what I say, because they might be watching and I might get a phone call tonight. Amen. But in her later teen years, she was going down the same path that so many of my other family, and path of the things that would destroy life. But to make a long story short, her and her husband just bought a house that was foreclosed, a two-story house. They got it for like $30,000 less than, oh my God, I'm telling her business. But she's got equity, and she's got a nice job, and he's got a welding job. And I'm just telling you, you know, when I look at my mother got remarried, and our property looks just like it did when I was a kid, before my dad. And I remember standing there, and it came all over me. Your family and the blessings that are on your family are the direct results of your prayers. Now, that I felt that. Now, I can't boast in it. I can't say I'm such a holy man. I'm just telling you, I have interceded for my family. And when they're doing good, I can say, God, you heard my prayers. Now, Lord, finish the job, because I want to see them get really, really on fire for the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise for it. Somebody prayed for me. I intercede for Skylar and Julie. I pray for them, and I'm going to keep praying until the victory comes. I intercede for all of you out there that I pray for. Many of you I pray for every single day. But intercession is a part of prayer. And then there's number 7. Look on your sheet. Petitions. There's petitions. Now, this is where you talk about your needs. Yeah, God wants you to lay your needs to the Lord. Part of the Lord's prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Don't be ashamed to ask God for the things that you need and for the things that you desire. There is a scripture that says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Now, I've never asked God for riches, but I have asked him for wealth. Y'all got so quiet out there. I've never asked God for extravagance. I don't care about riches and extravagance and 15 different houses and Lear jets. I'm not asking for that, but it is within my covenant right to say, Lord, I just simply am praying for wealth. But the Bible says, for it is the, now if you don't want wealth, don't ask for it. If you want to have more month than money the rest of your life, if you don't want to ever own a home or own a car, you know, the pastor on my birthday, bless God, on my birthday, August the 9th, 2020, on my birthday, you gave me a birthday present. Hallelujah. You didn't even realize it, but you preached on prosperity that morning. praise God. And the pastor said, I bought my wife a car. I said, glory to God. Lord, one of these days I'm going to buy my wife a car and pay for the whole thing up front. Do you think God is not pleased with that? Sure he is. Because the thing is, God knows, at least I hope he knows, God knows that the more he pours into me, the more I'm going to pour to others. And the more I'm going to give. And I'm not going to wait till I get wealthy to give. I'm giving now, praise God. I'm sowing now. And I have personal petitions. And God's put desires in my heart. I desire certain things for my wife, for my family. I desire that these are, God gives us the desires of our heart. Don't be ashamed to ask him. The prayer of Jabez will mention. That. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Every now and then you need to say, Lord, I need a blessing. Bless me indeed. Work this thing out in my job. I need promotion. I'm not, Lord, I'll use it for your glory. And then trust him. Trust him when the promotion comes. Trust him when the promotion doesn't come, because there might be a bigger promotion down the road. I wish you'd give the Lord a hand of praise for prayer. Well, I've run out of time. Thanksgiving, and now praise and thanksgiving are sort of the same, but they're really different. Are you really thankful for the, in my prayer time, let me give you an example. A lot of times I'll say, Lord, thank you for clean water. Do you know that 80% of Africa and most of the people in the 1040 window, they struggle just to get a cup of clean water. Many people have to go to a pump and pump it out. All I got to do is go to the faucet and whoosh. When's the last time you thank God for that? And guess what? It's not only water, but when I take a shower, bless God, it's warm, hot water, praise God. I tell you, something gets me, just ruffles my feather, is when I have to take a cold shower. They're talking about, we're going to go to Falcon and spend the night, and I know good and well I'm going to have a cold shower. So I don't even want to go. But I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I'm going to just stop here in just a second. But I thank you, Lord, for cold water, hot water. People complain about health care in America. Oh, my goodness. Everybody's talking about health care, how terrible it is, how terrible it is. And friend, I'm going to just tell you something. If you got a problem, go to the emergency room and let's just see if they're going to kick you out. They're not going to kick you out. They're going to take care of you. They're going to do something for you. It is in our system to take care. We pay a higher cost when I have to have something done, or when Darnell or some of us, when we go to the doctor and our insurance pays, we pay a little extra. You know what? Because we're paying for some people who can't pay. Now, you know, there's people that abuse the system. We understand that. We're not for that. But I promise you, just the fact that you have a yearly fit, just the fact you can go to the dentist. Do you realize that Cuba and Central America, that's what I'm trying to say, in Central America and South America, people, their kids, their teeth are rotten. And we go and people are like, I don't like it when they have to drill on my teeth. Thank God they've got a drill. Zzz, it is a blessing. And nobody said hallelujah, I see. In your prayers, there's so much more. And it can become so exciting, so beautiful. The main thing about prayer, I will close. I'm going to skip these others and just get right to the end. The main thing about prayer is just do it. Just do it. I'm going to talk to you about the frequency of prayer. How often should you pray? What about short prayers? What about long prayers? Which one's right? Which one's wrong? They're all right. The only wrong is not to pray at all. Well, I've sinned. I've messed up. You'll mess up even more when you don't come back before God. Do you remember he is the prodigal father, the prodigal son's father? Would you stand with me tonight? And why don't you lift your hand and worship him right now? Thank him for his, the fact that we can talk to God, the King of the universe. We can talk to him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to the Lord and prayer. Why don't you pray for somebody next to you right now? Why don't you intercede? If you can and feel safe, just touch somebody on the shoulder right now and just ask God to bless them and touch them. Yes, God. Thank you, Father. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. Come on, lift your hands. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.